Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Timothy. As we go this morning, as we go this year, I leave you with these words. These words from the pen, the mouth of Paul, writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to start from verse 11. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I suffer those things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him unto that day. So the first thing is I trust God. I trust God. See, I trust God. See, I trust God. In my Christian walk, I don't trust myself. I trust God. Hallelujah. It's vital to do that. A couple of years ago, precisely 94, I suppose, I just read stories about preachers who fell away. And somehow along that season, it was like I was hearing stories of preachers who went astray. This is very private to me. I'm just sharing it with you. Not necessarily for you to act on it, but to just know. And then that day, I was praying early in the morning, and I had a vision. And I had the Lord practically hold my hands. And he said, "Don't be afraid. I'll stand with you till the end of your life. Wherever you stand to preach and teach, I will stand with you." And for me, that was a comfort. That was a whole lot. Now, years down the line, because you know visions oftentimes bring our mind to the written word. And so that just showed me that I ought to trust God, even in the ministry. You know, many times we trust God for healing, we trust God for a financial miracle, we trust God for this, we trust God for that. But we also know that when it comes to serving God, you ought to trust God. You ought to trust God. In the natural, for example, you have today's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. What a Christmas morning. And you have 6 more days, I suppose, in the year. Yeah, 6, 7 plus today. And then you have another 365 or 366 days ahead. Sometimes you're so uncertain, unsure of what the days ahead in the natural carry. But you know what? You can trust God. Hallelujah. You can trust God for your ministry. You can trust God for what you do. And make a boast of it. Make a brag of it. I trust God. He's able to keep that which I put in his hands. I trust God. You should say that. I trust God. And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. So learn to trust God. Learn to trust God for your church. Learn to trust God for your meetings. Learn to trust God for your ministry. Let us trust God for your prayer life. Let us trust God for your Bible study. Let us trust God for your personal holiness. Let us trust God for your consecration. Having said that, what other things does he say to Timothy? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. He says to hold fast. To hold fast means to keep it. Remember, he's already said, I trust God. I trust him to keep. Now, since you also now, in trusting God, you have to act on the word. You have to act on the word. Hold fast the form of words. Brothers and sisters, you cannot afford to be careless. Trust in God and don't be careless. Hold fast. The corresponding action to trust in God is to act on the word. Hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the truth that you have heard. Hold fast the instructions that you have heard. In 14, verse 14, it says, the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. It says to keep. The word there means to protect. To protect. In 1 Timothy 6 and 20, just the book before, it says, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. In chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, it says concerning prophecies, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which have gone before on thee, that thou by them may war a good warfare. So I commit it to you. In other words, you have a responsibility as you trust in God, as you believe Him for your ministry to fulfill God's will and purpose in the coming years. You have to act on that and not be careless. Keep the words, keep the prophecies, keep the doctrine, keep the sound words. You have a responsibility to do that. To keep it. Protect it. In the book of Revelation, we have seven letters meant for seven churches. But I'm going to highlight three things in the letters. In chapter 2, verse 14. Having commended the church of Pergamos, he says, but I have a few things, verse 14, against you. You have, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. In other words, there was permissiveness. They were careless about the kind of things that was being spread in their congregations. He said, you allowed it. You have to wage a war against permissiveness. A lackadaisical attitude. Like, okay, it doesn't matter. No. If it matters in scripture, it has to matter to you. Praise the Lord. If it matters in scriptures, it has to matter to you. In chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. To the church of Thyatira, thou hast allowed the woman Jezebel. You have allowed it. Permissiveness. As you walk in love and you walk in discernment of the body of Christ, knowing the body of Christ, the church has the weak, the strong, has people with different kinds of persuasions. At the same time, you have to watch against permissiveness. Permissiveness. You know, we said something in the conference. We said, what a generation tolerates, another one turns into a culture. Watch the things you tolerate. What the things you say, well, it doesn't matter. I just thought it doesn't really matter. No, you have to find out if it matters in scriptures, it has to matter to you. Hallelujah. The way a man carries out the ministry, does it matter in scripture? Yes, it does. Paul says, I didn't come to you in the excellency of speech of wisdom, declare unto you the testimony of God. That means the way you carry out the ministry matters in scripture. Don't say, well, the ends justify the means. No. If it matters in scriptures, it has to matter to you. It has to matter to you. In chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, be watchful. Someone say, be watchful. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Be watchful. Be watchful. Learn Christian alertness. Learn spiritual alertness. You don't allow things to aggravate, become so bad before you notice them. Learn it. Watch the things that you tolerate before they become your habits. Then your habit become your convictions. Then you turn those things into a defense. He says, be watchful. The very last one I want to share is in chapter 3 again, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that fast which thou hast had, that no man take your reward. Hold fast what you have, so nobody takes your reward. See, I hold fast to what I have. I hold fast to what God has committed to my trust. I hold fast to the gospel. I hold fast to sound doctrine. I hold fast to my consecration. It says to hold it. Like to hold it tightly. Hold fast. Don't be permissive. Don't be permissive. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. You got to be very, very, very alert. Be an alert. One of the fruits of spiritual growth is alertness. Paul says, henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, Ephesians 4:14, and sly cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You've got to be alert. Not be arrogant. Not be full of yourself that you know a lot. No, that's not it. Discernment for believers is first of all personal before it is made public. Personal. You are alert. You don't just tolerate things. If it's not in the scriptures, explain in the scriptures as true of God and His church. I won't permit it. He says in verse 11, hold fast that which you have. Let no man take your crown. So as we close this conference, I ask you to maintain your fervency. You know, uniquely we are at a festive season where naturally when you leave, you ought to be with family and friends, even with yourself, which is okay. Very, very okay. But remember, I suppose it's the second day, I shared with you a lesson that I learned during the holidays. That yes, there's a holiday in the world and we can have all that with the world because we are in this world. But you got to be at your duty post. Be full of faith. Be full of prayer. Be full of the Spirit. Be full of the Word of God. Because you see, the festive season in a few days now will be over. Everybody's going to go back to work. Showing you it's just for a season. But the Word of God doesn't have such seasons. The ministry of the Spirit doesn't have such seasons. So don't slip back. Slip back into a lifestyle of permissiveness. You know, you're going back to communities, environments, places where they have not had the kind of experience you've had. You are going back to people who might not understand what you have just done. The times you spent, you know, waiting on the Lord in the last few days. You are going back to people who are not going to be at that same frequency many times. And so therefore, in the midst of all of that, you have to maintain your spiritual fervency. You have to maintain your prayer and study culture. Maintain your ministry culture. Your fellowship around believers. Don't forget one of the instructions we have here. Be quick to repent. Say, I'm quick to repent. Maintain that fervency. To be quick to repent. When the Lord lays something on your heart, you don't delay obedience. When you delay obedience, it becomes disobedience. Lord wakes you up at night to pray. You begin to tell yourself why you cannot wake up. No. 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 Wake up. Get up. Pray. Get up. Pray. Pray then. The Lord lays on your heart. Tomorrow afternoon, go to certain so and so place and go and preach the gospel to them. And you feel, but I had planned something for that time. But he spoke to you. And you know he did. So what do? You keep that fervency and alertness to obey. Don't forget in the coming days. Don't miss special meetings. Meetings that are for you. As a pastor, as I close this morning, as a pastor, know meetings you shouldn't miss. Know the meetings you don't miss. Don't let being busy, so busy, you are now a preacher on demand. You've got a lot of things to do. You have 4 services now on Sundays, another one during the week. You have workers' meetings, and those things can becloud your judgment. And you forget that you ought to keep refueling. You ought to keep being ministered to as well. Don't make that error. Don't make that mistake. Keep that which is committed to your trust. One last thing I want to say, don't become vulnerable to the devil. Being vulnerable means you are open for the devil's manipulations. Sometimes you've made mistakes. Sometimes your expectations are cut short. In the natural, you had planned that this time and this time you'll have achieved this in the natural. Every human being deserves a sense of achievement. You're a human being. When you get to school, you ought to graduate. It's achievement. You ought to graduate in life, as you work, to own things. Sense of achievement is all human beings. But sometimes, or many times, those things are either delayed or they don't happen at all. And so we become vulnerable. We begin to ask questions. We feel bad. Sometimes you feel depressed. Sometimes you felt, all right, the next 1 month, I'll be praying fast. I'll be in the spirit all through. Then in the middle of it, you walk in the flesh. You feel disappointed. You feel terribly bad. Your expectations were cut short. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Don't open your heart to the devil. Don't suddenly develop a condemnation consciousness. Don't suddenly be open to the devil at such moments. You will now find new advisors, new sets of wisdom coming your way. Why? You have become vulnerable in those low moments. In those low moments. I recall years ago when my brother passed away. And it was such a sad moment because we had done the work of the ministry together. Then he fell off at some point for a long time. We used to minister together, lay hands on people together. I remember one lady like that was very big. She was very big, very big. I mean big. My brother had to get upon a chair to lay hands on her. I can't forget that scene. You know, and I remember we would sing the song together in meetings. I let the Son of God unfold. So every time I sing that song, I remember him. We sing it together. We minister it together. Then he fell off. And he went really into the world. He went really into the world. Terribly into the world. So the day he was going to pass away, I didn't know. My wife wasn't married then. She was there. She was the last person to even counsel him and talk with him. And as he was talking to him, he said, it's not easy. I remember somebody was trying to speak with him because his lifestyle became very bad. As the person was talking to him about righteousness, he gave her more scriptures. I said, before you got born again, he understood what you are saying. So at the time he got restored and he's trying to get it right, just about that time he passed away. So it was so painful. And that evening, I wept, I cried. So that's what I remember in my schedule. And I had to preach somewhere the next day. You know, that was an opportunity for the devil to ask, to have you ask questions. But aren't you a preacher? Aren't you a preacher? Aren't you a man of God? You've boasted about the integrity of the word. How about this now? So I got up. Said, I'm going to preach and get the devil mad. I said, sit and hear my words. For this, I'm going to win millions to Christ. I didn't allow the situation to overshadow me. I said, for this, you will see millions receive eternal life. For this, nations will hear about Jesus. So I got up. The guys that invited me, they heard what happened, so they assumed I wasn't coming. So when they saw me, they were shocked. It was at Johnny King I preached, Redeemed Christian Church of God. The man said, oh, we're still trying to come and see you. I said, for what? Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. Don't become vulnerable. Don't become vulnerable. I know you lost the job. I know you lost the contract. I know something unexpected happened to you. You may not have the answers, but you know something. God has called you to the ministry. You know something. That he has called you to a noble calling. You know something. That eternities of men depend on your words. You know that. Keep that one. Keep that one. Keep that one. Don't allow Satan to take advantage of that opportunity. You become so vulnerable. Then you start crying. You start feeling bad. Not wrong in that. But then you have new advisors. Some of us will now have new friends who understand our situation. And then gradually, we are taken away from our purpose on earth. I know that is never going to happen to you in Jesus' name. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't allow anyone to drag you into strife. Don't allow anybody's writings on Facebook to drive you into the flesh. You know, I was talking to Pastor Tokes the other day, and we're talking about how do you address issues that come up in the body of Christ. And he said something very remarkable. He said, always listen to the Holy Spirit, even when you have to write. And I said, that's true. So always listen to the Holy Ghost. Always listen to the inward witness. There are times like that. You want to say something. And you feel an urge not to say it. Don't say it. You feel, you sense in your spirit not to say it. Then don't say it. Don't allow anybody to drag you into a personality war or fight. Those of you who are members of this community church know this. I have never come on the pulpit to defend myself. I have never asked you to do it as well. Truth is like a lion. Just let it loose, it will fight for itself. Don't get into any war with anyone. Don't allow anyone to drag you into any stuff. When you find people are against you, stop listening to the things they are saying, so you are not going to be reacting. Don't become vulnerable. Say, I'm not vulnerable. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Look at Judas and Peter. Judas had betrayed Jesus. He became vulnerable. He started having bad thoughts. Why did I do it? How did I do that? Oh God, how would everybody see me now? Oh, how can I even spend the kind of money I got? So I fulfilled that scripture. Oh, I can't live again. How will I face the world? I can't live again. I can't. Jesus is dead. How will I tell the world that I was one of those who conspired to kill him? Then he killed himself. He became vulnerable to the devil. There was Peter, who denied Jesus. He didn't betray Jesus. He denied him. I don't know him. 3 times he did. Peter didn't become vulnerable. He gave Jesus the opportunity to restore him. Don't become vulnerable. be full of the word. Hallelujah. There's a song we sing. I adore him. I adore him. I adore him, for Jesus is Lord. There is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. I walk in the Spirit of life. Pray for yourself as we close. There's no condemnation. You are not vulnerable to the devil. You will never allow desperation, condemnation to cause you to walk away from his purpose and plan. There's no condemnation to the man in Christ Jesus. You refuse to be vulnerable. You walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. In the name of your Son Jesus. Hallelujah. You have your seats. Just take.